Take your Bibles, if you will. Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. Title of our message today, The Sower Soweth the Word. May I say this, I am sorry for those who attend a church where the Word of God is not the textbook. I feel sorry for those who attend a church where it's all about entertainment and not about the Lord. If you would, let's stand together, if you're able. Matthew chapter 13, beginning at verse 1 down through verse 3. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day that we have gathered together to share in songs, and an offering, and now the message from the Bible. And Lord, may we say when we leave, it was good to be in the house of the Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. He spoke many things unto them in parables. A parable has been defined as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Also, a saying with a hidden meaning. Matthew chapter 13 has seven parables. The first one is the parable of the sower, and I believe it to be the most important. I asked this question, and someone has well said, you shouldn't ask a question when the answer is so obvious. But what is the job of the church? What is the job of the church? And may I say this? It is to proclaim the Word of God. That is our first message. The most important thing the church does is to proclaim the message of the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. We are not to be afraid of the seven-day creation story. It fits better with the history of the earth than evolution does. And as the evolution wants to tell you, they take the finished product and try to tell you how it came about. The Bible tells you how the Lord took nothing and made something. And this marvelous universe is the work of His hands. So we are to proclaim the Word of God. Paul to the elders at Ephesus said, For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Acts 20:27. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Amen. Remember the story, Jesus Christ has been crucified. He has risen from the dead. He has met some people, and now as he is walking to Emmaus, he comes upon two of his followers. And the Bible tells us, and beginning with Moses, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures. From the book of Genesis chapter 1 through the prophets, he told them of the scriptures. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, and let me read it for you. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Word of God is alive, and it's powerful. And Satan is afraid of it. And our corrupt people in places of political importance are afraid of it. And those in many of our educational systems are afraid of it. And I must admit, many that are rich, that are where their only goal is to obtain more and more, they're afraid of it. And some of you are afraid of it because of the teachings that you don't want to follow. It is powerful. It is powerful. And the job of the church is to preach the gospel. And unfortunately, too many churches have stopped preaching the Word of God. But we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should love it. We should care for it. William Evans, PhD and DD, and he had more titles, but I didn't put them all on there, writes, "The Bible is not merely a book. It is the book. The book that from the importance of its subjects, the wideness of its range, the majesty of its author, stands as high above all the books as the heaven is high above the earth. Of all the names given to the Bible, the Word of God is doubtless the most significant, impressive, and complete. It teaches us to regard the Bible as the utterance of divine wisdom and love, as God speaking to man." Unquote. Paul, writing to a young Timothy, encourages him to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Would you please take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll begin reading at verse 14. The Word of God should be important to everyone. And yet what has happened is that we have ignored it. We have put it on a shelf. And it has become something that no one wants to read or listen to. But it doesn't change the fact that it is necessary in our daily walk. Verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good work." 1 Peter 1:21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." This Bible, this book that you have is precious. Many have died so that you could have it. Many have died so that we could have possession of it. Treasure it. For it is priceless. Again, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Let's read the parable. Let's read it. And it says, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. A sower went forth to sow. Some seeds fell by the wayside where the fowls devoured them. And some fell upon stony ground, and they had not much soil, and they sprung up quickly, but they soon withered away. And some fell among thorns, which choked the plants. But aren't you glad for the seeds that fell among the good ground and produced fruit? The Bible tells us that many will hear, but will not listen. Many will see, but will not believe. As this church celebrates its 63rd anniversary in just a few weeks, we are thankful that this church has proclaimed the Word of God for its 63 years of existence. We thank God that it has been actively involved in winning souls in this area, and that has sent forth workers who have taken the gospel message to other parts of the world. We're glad that we support missionaries who are around the globe proclaiming the Word. Proclaiming the Word. It is the number one job of the church to proclaim the Word of God. But let's look at what this parable is all about. Verse 18. Jesus says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one or anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. Then cometh the wicked one." In Genesis, we find he is a serpent. We find in Revelation, he is a deceiver. He is the father of liars. He is a murderer. And he desires to keep us from hearing the word of God. His desire is to distract us. His desire is to confuse us. His desire is to counterfeit the word of God, to water it down. And he has watered down churches to where some, you wouldn't even know you were at a church service. The wicked one comes for one purpose, and that is to deceive. To deceive. 2 Corinthians 4:4, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? I'm not asking you, have you heard about Christ? I mean, you've heard about the birth, and we celebrate in December, or you've heard about the resurrection that's celebrated in March or April. I mean, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Do you realize that you need a Savior, and that he is the only one that can provide that salvation? If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd be glad to tell you afterwards how you can do this. Verses 20 and 21. "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon or at once with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. I remember when Donna's parents moved out to a 32 Mile Road in Townsend. They were the first house on the right side as you traveled north from 32 Mile Road. And they had the house there, and they built a garage and an area between the house and the garage. And they decided, or he decided, Mr. Derringe, to put in a garden. And the best thing that garden ever produced was rocks. Was rocks. In fact, he built a rock wall out of the rocks that he got from his garden. Every year he would get the rototiller and he would rototill it, and it would bring up more rocks. I tell you what, it produced more rocks than anything around. I don't think he ever got a whole lot. And finally he stopped because all he could grow was rocks. And may I say this, if you're planning to have a garden, you don't want rocks. Now, I don't know about where you live, but where we are, when they put in our subdivision, they came in and took off all the topsoil. They came in so that then they could sell it back to the new people. And what we have right below the topsoil is clay. Clay's not good. My wife buys this stuff and she says, put it on the clay and mix it all together and it refurbishes the ground. Who likes to work with clay? I mean, in a garden. You need good ground. And here we have seed that fell among the stony areas. It tells us that they received the seed with joy. Of the four places the seed falls, three times the hearer receives it. But one will be offended, and one will be unfruitful. But only one will bear fruit. How about you? Are you bearing fruit for the Lord? In these two verses, the ones in the stony places have no root. They have no stickability. Stickability. If you type that into Word, it immediately tells you there is no such word as stickability. I'm going to tell you there is. It's right on my paper. Stickability. Those people that are able to stick, who are willing to stay firm in the Word of God. These people cannot go the distance. They cannot go the distance. They endure but for a while. Then tribulation or persecution come their way. They become offended and they quit. They think that once they become a Christian, everything should be a rosy bowl of cherries. Well, wait a minute. We read that the wicked one comes and he takes away the message. But for those who receive it, do you think he stops and says, oh no, I've lost the battle. Jesus gets another one. Do you think that's what he does? No, he comes after you even harder because he wants you to fail. He wants you to serve him. He wants you to blend in with the crowd. Now, there are a number of you today that you stand out really bright. Did you see Dan Jones's shirt? You almost need sunglasses. Yeah. And then a couple of our men have on orange shirts. Rudy was upset with himself that he didn't wear his orange shirt today. But over glowing over by the wall is Miss Debbie. I mean, you can spot that orange that she's wearing stand out. But how many Christians want to stand out? Now, I'm not talking about what you're wearing at a bright color. I'm talking about your language is such that you honor the Lord? What you watch, what you listen to honors the Lord? The messages you send out on social media honor the Lord? Are you standing out for the Lord? Or are we secret service Christians? Hiding amongst the bushes. No, we need to stand out. Verse 22. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Seeds among the thorns. I was reading with interest this post that said that dandelions aren't weeds. Did you know that? That dandelions have some good, healthy qualities. Some people make dandelion tea. And kids love it when they're all the fuzzy stuff on top. They think it's a toy. And here you thought getting rid of dandelions was a good thing. Okay, it is a good thing. But when you plant things, do you want thorns around it? No. No, you don't. You want to get rid of the weeds, because they're sucking up the nutrients from the ground. They're taking the water from the ground. You want to get rid of the weeds. You want only the product that's going to produce something. And yet the Lord calls two things thorns. Number one, the cares of this world. Paul said of Demas, "Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Folks, we live in a grand time. Money is available. We have nice cars. We have gas at a reasonable price. We have food that abounds. I mean, you go over here to the Kroger, or you go to Meijer's or Aldi or one of the other places. In Texas, where we were at, Walmart has just supermarkets. It isn't this big thing where you can buy your underwear and socks in the same store. I can't handle that. Okay? But the fact of the matter is that you don't want thorns in your ground. But the cares of the world can act as thorns. But the other one is the deceitfulness of riches. Herein is an issue, isn't it? Is it wrong for Christians to be rich? The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible it says that the love of money is the root of all evil. But it's not wrong for us to have money, is it? In fact, you invest in things and you hope that your investments bring you a good return. Correct? I was talking a while back to a man, and he was talking about the fact that he is taking care of $2.5 million. And I thought to myself, that's a lot of money. $2.5 million. Is it wrong for someone to have $2.5 million? Don't you think your pastor should have $2.5 million? Do you really? Well, I don't. But the fact of the matter is, there's nothing wrong with having money. In fact, the Lord encourages us to be wise in this matter. So what's the problem? The deceitfulness of riches. It's when money becomes more important than the Lord. When money becomes more important than people. When all you think about is obtaining more and more and more. And isn't that what so many people in our society have? The deceitfulness of riches. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. May I say this, if all you have is money, you really don't have much. When you stand before your Creator God, He is not going to ask you, how much did you leave? He is not going to check your bank account or your stock portfolio. He is not interested in that. What He's interested in, how are you serving Him? Are you fruitful for the cause of Christ? I see the time is waning away. Verse 23. But he that received seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. They receive it, they hear it, they understand it, and they produce. Let me ask you a question. Why do we have an evening service or a Wednesday night service or ladies' Bible study? It's to preach the Word of God, isn't it? It's to teach the Word of God. Because the Word of God is what? It's important. It's necessary. It's what we need. And yet, what is becoming more and more apparent in our churches today is we're stopping it. Had a missionary tell us, he finds it hard to find churches that will have him on Wednesday night or Sunday night because churches have canceled their services. Why does a pastor cancel a Sunday night service or a Wednesday night service? Does people stop coming? But the Word of God is important. It's important. I don't want to be like Sears and close our doors. Oh, by the way, in Arlington, Texas, the Sears is still open. I don't understand that. Why did Lord and Taylor close? They said because people are buying things online. How about Penny's? I understand Penny's is next. What's going to happen to Lakeside Mall? Wow, very interesting. What about churches? We're seeing them closed, aren't we? Because people say, hey, I can do it online. And yet we're told we're to gather together. We're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. May I encourage you, get all you can all you get. Let's stand together, if you would, please. Remain faithful no matter the tribulation or the persecution. Don't be led astray by the cares of the world or the deceitfulness of riches. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable. We thank you for those who remain strong, who are fruitful. Lord, give us strength. Give us encouragement to continue on. And we ask this in Jesus' name, and again with thanksgiving. Amen.